Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled Finding Messiah. If you are interested in North Valley Church or our Sermon Podcast, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org. All right, welcome, and thanks for sticking around for the boring part of the service today. My name is Dan. I'm a pastor here at North Valley Church. After church today, if you're able to stick around, we are doing a family cookout. We've got some hamburgers and hot dogs ready. We've got some people who brought some side dishes. Please feel free to stick around and hang out with some folks. Enjoy some food, build some relationships, good stuff. Yeah, so she's excited. In preparation to make that happen, Becca LaWall was kind of driving the boat, but I offered, hey, is there some things that I can help with? And Becca said, yeah, and so she gave me the shopping list. And I reached out to Millie and said, hey, I got a bunch of stuff I need to pick up at Sam's Club. How would you like to make a time of it? And we'll go out and do it together. And Millie's like, yeah. So after we talked about it, it's like, hey, we'll grab a bite to eat, and then we'll pop by Sam's. We live here in Myersville, so we sometimes go do things in Hagerstown. So we decided that we would grab a bite to eat and then pop over to Sam's Club and pick up the stuff and head home. The place where we decided to eat, you know, you wrestle with where you're going to eat. It's a place called Western Sizzler. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about, Western Sizzler? Okay, it's like an old Bonanza or those kinds of things where you can, they got a salad bar and a food bar, and you order some, steaks or fried seafood, and it's kind of an old-fashioned buffet centered around steaks. So we decided to go there. And, you know, I'm flexible with my time. Millie's not working because she's not driving the bus or riding the bus during the summer. So it's like, let's go over a little early. Millie being Millie, she's checking out her phone. Hey, if we get there before 4 o'clock, we can pay lunch prices instead of dinner prices. So, all right, cool. Let's try and be there. Let's leave around 3. We left around 3 to go over to get to Western Sizz. So it's like 3 in the afternoon. We'll hit the lunch prizes. It's the middle of the afternoon. There won't be anybody there, right? It'll be empty. It'll be wonderful. So we drive up to Hagerstown. We're driving around the corner to pull into the parking lot for Western Sizz. And we're looking, there's a whole bunch of cars there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all these cars are here. And we're talking, why are they all here? And I'm like, I bet everybody that's in there is over 60. And Millie looks at me and goes, great, we'll fit in. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh my gosh, I'm the butt of my own joke now. I'm 62 and I'm apparently in denial, right? So I go to Denny's, but I don't order from the senior menu. I have not ordered from the senior menu. I'm not gonna do that. I was reading an article, apparently Sylvester Stallone's family has got a reality show. So they were doing some interviews, and he was talking about workouts in prep to do his Rocky movies, right? How much effort and workout that he needed to do to get ready for those. And he's like 70 now. And when they were asking him about that, he was describing what his workout was. But he's like, but I don't do that kind of workout today. He said, workout, going to the gym is more like physical therapy. All I'm trying to do at the gym is just loosen up, keep my joints moving, and keep things loose. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been going to the gym. My goal for the gym is no pain, right? So it's like, oh wow, if you don't want to get beefed up, you got to go, you got to push yourself. No, my goal is to not be in pain while I'm working out. If I can just get my joints and knees to bend, woo, that would be a touchdown, right? So apparently we get into places where, oh my gosh, this is where I'm at. Whoops. And We don't always realize it. When I enter into something that's a struggle, denial is my first response. So I'm in denial about being 62. I'm not completely there yet. But the thing is, when I'm in denial about it, it sort of impacts me making bad decisions, right? Maybe I'm not eating the right stuff. Maybe I'm not exercising the right way. And we get stuck in our old ruts, and when things change and when things are happening, we get into ruts and we get into denial about who we really are and what it is that we do. So I'm doing it regarding getting older, right? For some of us, lots of us here have families, right? Having your first kid is eye-opening. You didn't know what you didn't know when you first had your first kid. And then all that started to unfold. It's like, oh, okay, this is what having kids is like. As they get older, right, when your kids get into teenage years, you'll discover more things that you get to figure out how to navigate. Some of y'all are smiling. It's like a little worry. No, this isn't going to be okay. It's coming, right? So we can get in our rut. What happens is we get in our ruts, and then we realize, oh my gosh, I'm here. This is different now. What is it that I need to do about it? Maybe we do that sometimes. God may call you different places. Things may happen. We have job changes. We have income changes, right? And when that happens, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I need to figure out the rules. I need to redo my budget. I need to re-navigate and decide how it is I can live when we experience income changes, right? When you transition from going to high school to going to college, that's a change, right? What you got away with in high school doesn't always work when you're in college, and you need to readjust your study habits. And the sooner, really, that's what the first semester, really, that's what the first semester of college is all about. They purposefully give you all the junky hard classes to give you a kick so that you can figure out your new study habits. And if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you're not going to make the second and third semester anyway. We have a habit of getting into old routines, and things happen in life, and we need to go, oh, this is what I need to navigate now. It happens when we get old, with relationships, with money and school. You know, it happens with our faith, too. It happens with our faith, that we can get into a place where we get in a rut or a routine, and we think we're doing okay, and God being God, he has a habit of giving us a little whoop. Yeah, time to get out of that rut. It's time for us to do something a little new. And so today, we're going to talk about, I think, sometimes the thing that God has to repeatedly give us a little nudge. Hey, whoop, we need to make sure we're focused on that. Today, we're going to be looking at a sermon that's part of our Finding Messiah series titled Seeing the Harvest. I'm not all here, right? Okay, my brain's working at 80%. So, Seeing the Harvest. That while we sometimes can get focused on building ourselves up on Christ and building our relationships with others, which are good things, we sometimes miss the real reason that we're here, right? Jesus gave us a thing that we call the Great Commandment, that he wants us to go and make disciples. He wants us to go and find people who aren't already in a relationship with him and help build that relationship. So today, I think, might be a day where we can receive maybe a little nudge from God and go, how am I seeing the harvest? How am I seeing the unsaved world? And how am I relating to that? Am I doing it in a way that I'm actually helping people build a relationship with God? So we are going to do a little review. We're going to go through the narrative, but I want to do a little review because the story we're going to read today out of John chapter 4 reflects some things out of a story we did back on the May 5th. When we did the sermon on May 5th, I gave you a little outline of what evangelism might look like. And we're going to see that same thing play out. So there were a handful of bullets talking about disciples and curious and interacting with Jesus. Millie, if you could help me out. So the first one is Jesus experiences create disciples, right? When we figure out who Jesus is and we have a personal experience with him, that's when we really get it and we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Disciples, if we're doing the thing we're supposed to be doing, disciples attract curious people. If we're out doing our thing, we start to look a little different than the rest of the world. The world notices that. Hopefully they notice that in a positive light, and they start being curious about what it is that we've got going on inside of us. Curious people initially follow disciples. That's just the way it works. Paul acknowledged that in one of his epistles where he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So there's a season when people are moving towards their relationship with God through Jesus Christ where they're actually following our lead. They don't have that relationship yet. They're following our lead. And that's appropriate. It's a step we see people go through as they're trying to build their relationship with God. And then the curious become disciples through their own Jesus experiences. If we're doing it well, and there are curious people following us, eventually they encounter Christ for themselves. And through that personal experience, they develop their own personal relationship with Christ. It's no longer reliant on me. It's no longer reliant on other people. It's direct one-on-one with them. But recognize there's a season where it might be reliant on us. Or on if you're a disciple leading people, it might be reliant on you. So when we talk about this, a lot of times we get into pigeonholes. There's a disciple. There are curious people. There are evangelistic people, discipleship folks, blah, 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 and we pigeonhole everything. I want to flatten it out a little bit. So I got this number line that sort of draws a picture of really what's going on. There are people on the left side of that number line represents people who are far from God. They don't have a relationship with God. They may not even admit that there is a God, right? That's the people way on the left side. On the right side, right, there are people who are close to God. We actually never get to the end of that number line. And as we learn and grow as a disciple, we get closer and closer to who Jesus Christ is, being conformed to his image, and we develop a deeper relationship. And that's an ongoing process. So really what we're wanting is people to be moving from the left to the right of that number line. We want that for ourselves, right? And I acknowledge that in the middle of that number line somewhere, there's a moment where we move from knowing about God to putting our faith in God. And so if you're looking at that, people will often, on the left side of that, moving people along the number line is an evangelistic thing, right? These are people who don't know God, and we're trying to move them into a relationship with God. On the right side, you might say that this is a discipleship thing. I have a relationship, and now I'm helping myself and other people grow in our relationship with God. However, I want us to look that it's really one number line. It's really one line that we are all trying to move from being far from God to being closer to God. And so last week, Grant talked about conversations that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman. And I want, no, go back, yeah, I'm not, I'm almost there. I want you to think about, we're going to be talking about conversations today. And I want you to think about our conversations. Are they helping people move in that direction, right? So yeah, backwards me. Are conversations with people moving folks in that direction? We don't need to score the touchdown. We don't need to move people all the way from one end to the other. If I move them that far with a conversation, then that's a touchdown. That's what we want to do. our mindfulness of seeing the harvest is, what am I doing and what are the conversations I'm having to help meet people move from the left side to the right side of that number line? So our narrative today is going to tag along from right off of what Grant talked about last week. So quick review of Grant's sermon last week, which he did a groovy job on. It is on our podcast network if you are interested in listening to it and you didn't yet. We post our sermons on podcasts. It should be available on Google, Apple, and Spotify. I know those places. If you need any help on what to search for and how to find it, let me know, and I will help you find our podcast stream. But last week, Grant talked about that Jesus purposefully, right, with intention, he could have avoided this Samaritan town, but he intentionally went right through it. Jesus purposefully met a Samaritan woman by a well. He wanted to meet her so that he could have a conversation with her. He had a, here's the words I'm going to use today, he had a spiritual conversation. They were talking about water, but Jesus managed to make it a spiritual conversation. And out of that conversation, Jesus shared with this woman that he was the Messiah. So there's more details to the narrative, but those are the big things. Jesus purposefully met this Samaritan woman. Jesus had a spiritual conversation with her, and he shared with her that he was the Messiah. All right, now we're going to step into our narrative today. So that conversation, literally the last thing that we read is Jesus saying, I'm the one you're talking about. I am the Messiah. So that would have been a shock for the girl when she heard it. The verse following right then. Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or asked, why are you talking with her? If you're a note taker and you've got it going on, underline the word surprised. Right? Jesus is doing what it is he came to earth to do. Communicate and let people know in this phase of his ministry, he's communicating with people, I'm the Messiah. He's going to up the ante as we go through the book of John, but right now he's just getting him to the point, I'm the Messiah. And the disciples, when they found Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman, they were surprised. They didn't connect that what they were doing wasn't completely about them. They didn't connect that what they were doing was all about them. It was actually about them and the Gentiles. And Jesus saw the Samaritans as Jews. They still had Jewish lineage. And Jesus wanted to minister to them as well as the Jews. More importantly, Jesus wanted to demonstrate to his disciples that being a Samaritan wasn't an obstacle. That we need to remove the boundaries and obstacles we place in the way of being able to share our faith with other folks. Jesus is making a very intentional effort to bust that mindset. Oh, I need to get rocking here, don't I? All right, here we go. Hang on, we're gonna roll through this. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman that Jesus had been talking to, the woman went back into the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. So what did this woman do after her Jesus experience? I think she walked away being a disciple. She believed who Jesus was. She went to the town and shared her testimony. Simple. Hey, I saw Jesus. This is what happened. Now, we may not put all the pieces together, but if you're underlining stuff, underline the words where it says, he told me everything I did. Remember what this woman did. Jesus said, yeah, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with now isn't even your husband. The people in the town probably knew that. They knew who this woman was. Yet she was able to stand up and go, This guy, who's never met me, told me everything I ever did. That was a testimony that would have resonated with the town folks. She shared her testimony, and then, I love this part, she didn't try and convince them. She poked their curiosity. She didn't say, he's the Messiah, you need to go start worshiping him today. She said, hey, maybe he's the Messiah. She didn't try and change their mind. She poked their curiosity, challenged them, maybe you guys need to be thinking about this. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something, right? So away from the town, the woman in the town, back to the disciples and Jesus. Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Jesus is about to make his transition. What looks like is going to be a conversation about food, Jesus is going to turn into a conversation about the harvest. It's going to turn into a conversation about seeing the harvest and sharing the good news with people. Just like last week's sermon, it started out as a conversation about water between Jesus and the woman. It turned out about into a conversation regarding living water, which then led to, and Jesus is the Messiah. Do you see how everyday conversations can become spiritual conversations if we just get our mindset to do that? The disciples, bless their hearts. Anybody get what I mean when I say bless their hearts? It's a southern thing. Okay, Josh is giggling. He knows what it means. Rob's giving me a nod. Bless their hearts. Their response to Jesus' words about, I have food you don't know about, is the disciples said to each other, man, maybe he could have brought some food with him. They, you know, woo, they're not present. They're not getting what's going on. They're surprised. Their mindset isn't about sharing the good news with people. Jesus is going to help them out. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus is trying to get them to pay attention. Hey, this isn't about feeding your belly. This is about feeding people's souls, changing their lives forever. And that the harvest is, this might be the moment, Jesus is saying, where we can share with them the good news. Today we know the complete picture of the good news, that Jesus came, lived on this earth, and died on the cross for our sins. He was innocent, but he died so he could pay the price for our sins, something that we couldn't do or work off on our own. Cooler yet, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And when we put our faith and trust into the work he did on the cross, accept his forgiveness and his leadership in our life, we're changed forever. We're changed for eternity, and a change starts right now. That's the conversation in particular Jesus is encouraging his disciples to be mindful of. If you've never done that before today, man, let's make today the day. I'll be sticking around and having a cheeseburger and a hot dog. Please come talk to me after the service if you think that's where you're at. If you don't think you're able to have that conversation today, you can always send an email to nvcmd.org. And I will do my best to follow up with you as quickly as I can. Jesus is about to continue with his harvest analogy, right? He said, we're talking about food. Hey, the fields are ripe for harvest. So he's going to continue down that line. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage, and the harvest harvests a crop for eternal life, right? Jesus is using the harvest analogy, but he's making clear what it is that he's talking about. He's talking about eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together, right? So farming stuff, simple farming stuff, sowing seed, getting them in the ground, and then you tend it. At some point, you reap the harvest from what you plant. Jesus continues his conversation. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. I want you to catch that for a moment. This is such a cool, this is two verses long. This is two verses long, but there's three conversations going on in that little verse. There's a conversation of the person who was the sower. There's a conversation of the person who was the reaper. And there's a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. Do you catch that? All three of those conversations matter. Millie, if I could have the next slide. So let's take a look at those three conversations on our number line. What is the sower doing? The sower is the guy who's planting seeds. He is having conversations with people who are far from God. And as he has those conversations, he plants seed and hopes that they move. He probably won't get to have the, it's time for you to believe in Jesus and pray with them conversation. But he's still planting seeds and helping people move in this direction. Then there's a place in the middle of the line that says faith in God. That's the reaper. That's the one who, based on the work of the people who have gone before them, he's able to have the conversation. Maybe it's time for you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the conversation that happens in the middle of the number line. But Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples who already have a relationship with him. They believe he's the Messiah, but he's helping them move closer to this side of the number line. But I want you to catch the context of the conversation. Jesus is having a conversation to help them move further on this side of the number line so that they can be the people on the other side of the number line having the sowing and reaping conversations. Right? Being on the right side of the number line doesn't mean we get to focus only on ourselves. The reason we're being built and grown in Jesus Christ is so that we can help people have the same kind of relationship that we have. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did, right? We talked about that. Real quick note on that passage. I want you to note that the townspeople are believing in the woman's testimony a little more maybe than having met Jesus. They haven't met Jesus yet. They are reliant on that woman's testimony. If she does something and her credibility hits the toilet, what's going to happen to their belief in Jesus Christ? It's appropriate at this stage for them to be believing based on a woman, but it's not sustainable. Catch me? It's appropriate for curious to have put their faith in what the disciples are doing, but it's not sustainable. They eventually are going to need a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So, when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, right? Jesus not only removed the obstacles, he busted them down and blew them up, right? He just didn't have a conversation with a woman at a well. He went to their town and hung out for 2 days and shared the good news. And because of his words, many more became believers. Jesus is all about removing the obstacles to our spiritual conversations. They said to the woman, here's it, if you're underlining, this is it. We no longer believe just because of what you said. They've heard Jesus. They've had a Jesus experience. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. The curious follow disciples. And when the curious have their own Jesus experience, they now become full followers of Christ. That's the buttons I want us to hit today. I want us to be thoughtful about where are we on that number line. How are our conversations with the people we interact with moving people more to the right? I want us to think about our conversations. I want us to think about opportunities we have to play a part in seeing the harvest. We have to see the harvest so that we can get passionate and mindful about what we want to do. If you are looking for opportunities to be engaged in that, Mary Mitchell was up here earlier today. Even if you're not going on the mission trip, you can participate. You can get a wristband and remind yourself, pray. Pray for the mission trip. If God has so gifted you and you can donate some money to it, You can use your phone app and select a place to give and donate to the cost to make the mission trip happen. You can play a part in the harvest that we're going to be doing on the mission trip. There are mothers who are still in crisis pregnancies trying to figure out what to do. We had a baby bottle campaign. We're still talking about it because we want everybody to bring their baby bottles back. But if you would like to participate in seeing the harvest and helping those things move forward, there are women who may or may not have a relationship with Christ trying to figure out what to do about their pregnancy. You can donate by bringing a baby bottle back. You can donate online and just say CareNet baby bottles. And you can be praying for CareNet and the mission that they have for women in crisis pregnancies. At the end of July, we're going to be doing a outdoor worship service. We're going to be in Middletown Park. We're going to be outside. We're going to be doing music. We're going to be having a sermon, and then we're going to be doing a giant cookout, playing games in Middletown Park. A great day to invite a friend. Who might you be able to invite to come have church with us in Middletown Park? Now, if you want to invite your family who already attend another church and to have them come out, I'm completely cool with that. But man, between now and then, be praying about the friends and family you have who don't already attend church. Those are the folks. That's the harvest that we really want to see if we can get to Middletown Park. Tori Williams and I had a conversation on Friday. She's like, Dan, we need to do something for back to school for Myersville Elementary School. So that's going to be coming up. I want you to be looking for it. I would love for you to be praying for it. And when it happens, we're going to be giving people an opportunity to participate and contribute to us doing some back-to-school stuff for Myersville Elementary School. Please, please be thinking about the harvest that you might be able to participate in. This week, I would love for us to take a few days and be mindful in praying about the people who aren't here, the people who God would love to be here, and our connection and relationship with them. What are the kind of spiritual conversations you're having with them this week or in the weeks to come? I would like to invite the band back up. And while the band, I would like to invite Nia and Olivia back up. Oh, and Kelsey. Kelsey. She's standing right in front of me. How can I forget about Kelsey? While they are getting in place, just everybody take a deep breath for a second. Where are we at with having spiritual conversations with the folks who don't already have a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's let God's Spirit talk to us about that this morning. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your Son who called us into a relationship to himself. Lord, I pray that you would help us see the people in our circumstances that we might be able to pray for, that we might be able to invite, that we might be able to reach through different things, mission trips, baby bottle campaigns, inviting people to a worship service outside, helping connect with a local elementary school. Lord, there are opportunities before us. Help us see the harvest. I know that's what your heart is. And if we can get to a place where your heart is, I know that you will meet us there, equip us and empower us, and we'll be doing things that we would have never dreamed of. Help us see the harvest this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.